Hello everyone, my name is Elijah David, minister of the 12th Hour Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. I was at the 12th Hour. And the orientation today is November the 4th, 2023, or it's the 21st day of Bull 2027. We will start our second service today with a song in Stand Up for Yahshua.
Stand up for Yahshua, ye soldiers of the cross. We are his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory until victory, his army shall he lead. Tell every foe is conquered, and Yahshua is king indeed. Stand up for Yahshua, the trumpet shall open. For through the mighty conflict, in this his glorious day, see there are men now serve him against an armed foe. Let courage rise with danger, the strength to strike the foe. Stand up for Yahshua, and in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail ye, ye dare not press your home. Put on the gospel hammer, these things stood on with prayer. Where duty tells of danger, ye never wanting there. Stand up for Yahshua, the stars will not be long. Your spirit knows a battle, the next victor's song. To him that overcome, the crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
The second part of the two temple types of Shepherd Rod, Volume 2, we're on page 271, and it says, our second coincident is the fall of the Babylonian monarchy by the conquest of the Medo-Persia Persian king. Okay, now we got the Medo-Persian kings today operating in the world today, and Donald Trump is the main king of this antithetical Medo-Persian kingdom that is overthrowing Babylon. Babylon is represented by Joe Biden at Washington, D.C., our president, and Donald Trump is operating as antithetical Cyrus, the king of Persia. So we got the antitype now of these kings of Persia in these last days that are operating right now in the 12th periodic hour that we're in now. So it says, let it be remembered that in the night of the Belshazzar's drunken feast, Cyrus and Darius took the kingdom and slew the king for the fulfillment of the type and the antitype, which coincides with the imprisonment of the Pope in 1798 A.D. and followed by his death. Therefore, the death of the Belshazzar, who defiled the Yahweh of the heaven and earth, as a type of the Pope who blasphemed for a time, times, and a half a time, fulfilling Daniel 7:25 and Revelation 13:10, at which time the prophetic 1260 years of the woman's wilderness journey ended. Okay, it says again, we refer back into the top. With the death of Belshazzar, that's the son of Nebuchadnezzar, he was the king of Babylon at the time that the 70-year captivity was up for Judah to go back and build a temple. With the death of Belshazzar, and typical Cyrus was the one that brought the death of Belshazzar. So we have the antitypical Cyrus today, which is Donald Trump, and he's operating full force every day in the world. With the death of Belshazzar, the captivity of Yahweh's people ended, and they were made free. This coincides with the termination of the 1260 years of the persecution against Yahweh's people by the papacy, church, and state. For the fall of the Babylonian monarchy was not the thing that built the temple in Jerusalem, but it was a preparatory step unto it. As the death of the Belshazzar was a preparatory step toward the establishing of a true temple worship, when you have the antitypical Belshazzar's death today, then this will prepare the way then for we have an antitypical Belshazzar operating today. We'll make that clear later on. Just so, the death of the Pope was a preparatory step toward the establishment of a true church worship, starting with the Adventist, with the Millerite movement in 1833, entitled the First Day Adventist. They had the 2300 days prophecy to announce in 1844 for the Adventists to pick up and carry on, continue prophesying. Just the three angels' messages is all that they were given. If so, then the types clearly show that nothing could have happened unto the church in 1798 AD to signify that the woman had returned from the wilderness. This brings us unto the third coincidence. Cyrus was a heathen. Donald Trump, as antitypical Cyrus, is a nondescribed Christian. They don't know what he is. Okay. I describe him as a heathen. But the Cyrus was a heathen, a worshiper at the time he conquered Babylon. But his attention was turned unto the fulfillment of the scriptures, and was shown that his name was written in the sacred volume years before he was born, and that he had fulfilled the words of the prophet Isaiah. Thus saith Yeshua, or Yahweh, unto his anointed, unto Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden for the subduing of the nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass, and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of the darkness, and hidden riches of the secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Yahweh, which called thee by thy name, am the Yahweh of Israel. I have so named thee, and that is, today would be so named Donald Trump. I have so named thee, though thou hast not known me. Isaiah 45:1-4. Thus saith the Son, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying unto Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and unto the temple, thy foundation shall be laid. Isaiah 44:28. Here Donald Trump, when he was president, from 2017 to 2020, he reestablished the embassy in Jerusalem, our embassy over there, and reestablished the Israel embassy, and that was a sign that Donald Trump, he's got tremendous finances, he's a very rich man, he's going to raise up powerful people that's got a lot of money to go with him. And they're going to use that money to build that temple that there's talk about in the scriptures in Israel. Thus, the heathen's heart was changed. And with the gratitude, he inscribed the word. Thus says Sarah, the king of Persia, the Yahweh of the heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. So Donald Trump has possession today and to possess of all the kingdoms of the earth. And he has charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah, Ezra 1:2. After his conversion, he recognized that the pagan worship in Babylon was false. Therefore, he proclaimed throughout the realm of Babylon, Donald Trump will proclaim right here in the United States, throughout the realm of Babylon, that's in charge of our government in Washington, D.C., Joe Biden, is going to declare unto him. He's going to say the Yahweh of Israel, he is the Yahweh which is in Jerusalem. So Cyrus, the king brought forth the vessels of the house of the Yahweh, which the Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem, and had put them in the house of his God. Even those that Cyrus, king of Persia, bring forth by the hand of Mithridat, the treasurer, and number them unto Shethbazar, the prince of Judah. Ezra 1:3-7-8. Thus, the pagan worship of the Babylon was declared false sometime after the death of Belshazzar and the fall of his empire. Therefore, Cyrus made a decree to build the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem. And this is no doubt what Donald Trump, when he is installed again as President of the United States, he will fulfill this if he hadn't already. So much for the top. Now, our attention is turned unto its fulfillment in the antitype. According unto the top, we must look for a proclamation sometime after 1798 AD that would brand the so-called Christian churches, that's talking about your Lutherans, Presbyterians, Methodists, and Baptists, as being Babylon and their worship false. And that's what they remain Protestants after 1844. Those Protestant churches are false churches. They started out as true churches, but now, during the Dark Ages, and now they're false churches. This is just what happened immediately after 1844 AD, the second angel's message of Revelation 14:8 was proclaimed, saying, Babylon is fallen as far, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Therefore, it is evident that light shining through the types is the only medium that can explain these prophetic mysteries and the word of Yahweh. With the proclamation of the fall of Babylon, it was announced that the so-called Christian festivals, such as Sunday keeping, that is the Protestant Sunday keeping churches, they had festivals that were sponsored by the Catholic Church, such as Sunday keeping, Christmas, and Easter, also baptism by the sprinkling, and other false doctrines, were unbiblical and of the pagan origin. But as the ancient Babylon failed to renounce the pagan system of their worship and adopt the worship of the only true Yahweh, just so present-day Christendom of all the Protestant churches that have apostatized and joined the Catholic Church has refused to reform or turn from these practices. For the true mediatorial work of the heavenly sanctuary, jointly with the seventh-day Sabbath, as it was in taught, is also unheeded. Three decrees issued before the temple was built. Josiah freely offered his resources, that's his finances, for the financing of the construction of the house of Yahweh and his sacred service, and authoritatively commanded that it must be built. The Samaritans are the factitious Jews, frustrated the progress of the foundation and retarded its completeness. Therefore, though the message decree in 1844 was proclaimed for the building of the house of Yahweh and restore true worship, you have to have the sanctuary restored. And true worship was not restored until 1970 by Brother Teddy Johnson at Gilead Center in Kermit, Texas, with the creation calendar according unto the law. And the prophets, the type, revealed that the progress has been frustrated and its completeness retarded by the factitious Jews unto Seventh-day Adventists. This fact is plainly stated in the testimony of the Church, Volume 5, page 317. Okay, three decrees issued before the temple was built. Okay, this is talking about the temple that was built by the Judaizers that came out of Babylonian captivity by the Cyrus. Through the Cyrus, freely offered his resources for the financing of the construction of the house of Yahweh and his sacred service, and authoritatively commanded that it must be built, the Samaritans are the factitious Jews, frustrated the progress of the foundation and retarded its completeness. Therefore, though the message decree in 1844 was proclaimed to build the house of Yahweh and restore true worship according unto the law and the prophet, the type reveals that the progress has been frustrated and its completeness retarded by the factitious Jews unto Seventh-day Adventists. This fact is plainly stated in the Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 217. I am filled with the sadness when I think of our condition as a people. For the Yahweh has not closed heaven unto us, but our own course of continual backsliding has separated us from the Yahweh. Pride, covetousness, and love of the world have lived in the heart without the fear of the banishment or condemnation. For the church has turned back from following Yahshua, her leader, and is steadily retreating toward Egypt. Yet few are alarmed or astonished at the want of the spiritual power. Yeah, because they were not true Adventists. They were Catholic infiltrators, especially the general compass leadership. They were all Jesuits. There weren't an Adventist among them. False accusations and excuses. For these unconverted Seventh-day Adventists, and I hate to say this, but the house of Laban sent folks to Abraham, where Jacob ended up for 20 years, they were unconverted. The only one that converted to Jacob was the ones that he married. He married the two daughters of Laban, and he married their two handmaids, the four of them, and he raised up 12 sons by them, and then he got servants that come and join him to take care of his flock. Those were the converts to Jacob, and those that stayed with Laban were unconverted, because he had servants too. So these unconverted, Seventh-day Adventists, when told of these facts, not to criticize or to find fault with them, but to arouse them from the terrible stupor of the deception and false security, began to make excuses in the following manner. We are Yahweh's people. This is Yahweh's church. There is no other movement to follow. It is wicked to accuse the church militant, your sitting town. You must not tear down, but build up. Shun them which make division. There shall be no more prophets. We have all the truth, and there is no need of the more. Now, brethren, as you have trimmed your lamps, will you not also avail yourselves of the extra oil of the truth, and act like men who are looking for the Savior to come? No one denies the fact that you're being Yahweh's people, but remember that the Jews also were once his people. No one wishes to affirm that it is not the Yahweh's church, the Seventh-day Adventist, but in this, as the only time he has ever had a church. Let's do that again. This is a question here, it says. It says, no one denies the fact of your being Yahweh's people. Verily, remember that the Jews also were once his people. No one wishes to affirm that it is not the Yahweh's church. But in this, but is this the only time he has ever had his church? See, how the punctuation is bad here. He should have put a period at the end of Yahweh's church and then asked the question. We do not claim that there is another movement to follow. But is not the word of the true witness saying, I will spew thee out of my mouth? If calling the church militant to a reformation by the anointing their eyes with the eyesight, that they may see that the shame of their nakedness do not appear, as wicked as you say, then against whom are you speaking? And what other means can he use to call unto repentance the lead of sin? Rich and increased with the goods and have need of the nothing, condition, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked, is the one who calls for the obedience unto the truth according unto the word of Yahweh tearing down, are the ones who have broken every true principle of the message we bear. Who has caused division? Is it the one who calls for the obedience unto the word, or the one who refuses to hear a call from the heaven? Do you recall that the apostolic congregation was split in 7 reformatory sections because the messages were rejected? Who is the one that should be shunned? Is it he who accepts truth, regardless of where it comes from, or the one who allows prejudice to bar his mind from the receiving of the truth? For your claim of having all the truth, and that there is neither none, is denying every word written to the church. It is rejecting in advance every message of the truth or light Yahweh may choose to send. It is shutting Yahweh out and cutting the church loose from his stretched out arm. It is a preparatory step towards sinning against the Holy Spirit. Your assertion that there shall be no more prophets is casting off beforehand the Father of the little rain and the loud cry. It is denying the word in its prophetic form, for we read, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision. Joel 2:28. My brethren, is there anything so fearful as this unrighteous practice committed by men who are supposed to be watchmen on the walls of the Zion? If you count yourself unworthy of the everlasting kingdom, will you not take your hands off the church of Yahweh? Will you not grant a religious freedom unto the sheep and let them make their own decision? Why not do as you would have others do unto you? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Will you not say, Yahweh, what wilt thou have me to do? Do you know that the blood of the lost sheep shall be required at your hand? For your accusation against sitting time is like a man talking when out of his mind. What definite time has been set? Do you mean Ezekiel chapter 4? If so, will you not study the subject a little closer than you have and see what it says? Do you not see that the prophetic period had already ended when the statement was made? Or do you mean to say that Yahweh knows not the length of time from one event unto another, and that he must not put it in the Bible? Do you not see that the coincidences recorded in the Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1, page 212 and 13, proves the interpretation of Ezekiel 4 to be correct, our truth would not have come. You will also note on page 222 that the 430 prophetic years originally applied unto Abraham and his seed overlapped the 430 of Ezekiel 4. The 430 years of Ezekiel should terminate in 1929 or 30. But the perfect fulfillment of the prophetic period of Abraham and its antitype is yet in the future going out of Egypt. For the chart on page 212 and 213 shows its termination in 1930. For as we stated before, it is outlined by the coincidences which perfectly fit the prophecy of Ezekiel. As it is impossible to make a time chart without any date to go by, we have used these coincidences, and it is stated that the date is indefinite. See chart on page 133. Ezekiel's prophecy is intended to point forward unto the announcement of the predicted reformation and the one through Abraham unto its completion, Ezekiel 9. Then shall the seers be ashamed, and the diviners confounded. Yea, they shall all cover their lips, for there is no answer of Yahweh. But truly I am full of the power by the Spirit of Yahweh, and of the judgment, and of the might, for the declaring unto Jacob his transgression, and unto Israel his sin. Hear this, I pray you, ye heads of the house of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, that abhor judgment and pervert all equity. They build up Zion with the blood, and Jerusalem with iniquity. For the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. Yet while they learn, lean upon the Yahweh and say, is not the Yahweh among us? None evil can come upon us. Therefore shall Zion for your sake be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become heaps, and the mountain of the house of the high places of the forest. Micah 3:7-12. Objection against the channel that the Yahweh may use. Here's our next subtitle. Discontinue. History proves that many have risen against the channel that the Yahweh has used to reveal His holy word. So it is now, some say. If the Yahweh will speak unto His people, He may do so through one of our leading men. That may be so. But where is the evidence that He cannot call a more humble instrument from the flock of His sheep? For the historical facts prove that He seldom reveals Himself through the great men. Why should He change His method now? Others throw reflections against Yahweh's servants because of their external appearance, nativity, or rudiments of the speech, etc. My brethren, will you limit the Father and Creator of the human race by your restrictions unto a nation, a man, or a country, by your narrow-minded and self-conceited wisdom? For the heart that conceives such unreasonable theology through the self-esteem is like the proud Pharisee in the comparison with the penitent publican. These wise and self-dignified ideologists are the most ignorant ones, for by so doing, they allow the father of the self-exaltation to rob them of the life and eternity. While such men are blinded unto their own destruction, they are very wise and useful agents for the enemy of souls. For by their usurpation, they carry a never-ending influence like a pebble thrown in the lake. A wave is formed, and another, and still another, and as they increase, the circle widens until it reaches the very shore. What influence would your words of the life have upon the others if you think your dignity so great and that of theirs so insignificant that your actions are speaking louder than your words saying unto the poor of the flock? Look on us and see yourselves as nothing. If a wrong act is committed against one sheep for the pouring forth the straight truth, for the others will be treated likewise. Under such shepherds, the following words are spoken. You eat the fat, and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. For the deceased have you not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have you ruled them. Ezekiel 34:3-4. For the second decree to build the temple is a subtitle for our next subject. By the suppression of the adversaries of the Yahweh brought the work of the first decree unto a stop. But in due time, Cyrus' decree was renewed by the Darius, the king, and Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Yahshua, the son of Josedech, and began to build the house of Yahweh, which is at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of Yahweh helping them, Ezra 5:2. That though this second decree took additional power against the temple foes, they made the Jews cease by the force of the arm. The type by the second decree unmistakably revealed that there should have been another message after 1844, which with the additional mention should have declared, go forward by the faith, endeavor to establish a clean church and a true worship by the obedience unto the word of Yahweh, as righteousness by faith. For the type also discloses that the second message would have been defeated and the work frustrated. Now note how perfectly the type coincides, reveals the truth, and exposes the schemes of the devil. In 1844, just such a message or decree went forth, but the leaders at that time, the Jesuit General Conference, that weren't even Adventists at all, they had infiltrated and taken over the Adventist Church in 1863 with the help of Ellen G. White's husband, James White, rejected it as the following testimony proved. For the Yahshua in His great mercy, or Yahweh the Father in His great mercy, sent a most precious message unto His people in 1888. For this message was to bring more prominently before the world the uplifted Savior, by the restoration of the sanctuary system put back into operation, by a creation calendar, restoring the sanctuary system that was performed by Moses and the children of Israel and the wilderness of the people coming out of Egypt for the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. It presented justification through faith and the blood of the everlasting covenant, Hebrews 10, 19 and 20, and the surety, for it invited the people to receive the righteousness of the Yahshua. That's only by receiving His blood for your redemption, for your sin, which is made manifest in the obedience unto all of the commandments of the Yahweh. That's found in Leviticus 23, 1 through 44. That's the seventh-day Sabbath first and foremost, and then all the other additional yearly Sabbath, called annual feast day. Many have lost sight of the Yahshua. That's Thessalonians Ministries, page 91. For the message was delivered with the power of the Spirit, says the messenger, I shall never again, I think, be called to stand with the direction of the Holy Spirit as I stood at Minneapolis. For the presence of the Yahshua was with me. All the assembled in that meeting had an opportunity for the placing of themselves on the side of the truth by the receiving of the Holy Spirit that was sent by the Yahweh in such a rich current of love and mercy that in the rooms occupied by some of our people we heard ridicule, criticism, jeering, laughter. For the manifestations of the Holy Spirit was attributed to fanaticism. For the things which took place at that meeting made the Yahweh of the heaven ashamed for the calling of those who took part in them as his brothers. All this the heavenly watcher noticed, and it was written in the book of the Yahweh's remembrance, the special testimony to the Review and Herald Office, page 16 and 17, written in 1896. They began this satanic work in Minneapolis. Afterwards, when they saw and felt the demonstration of the Holy Spirit testifying that the message was of Yahweh, they hated it the more because it was a testimony against them. Yet these men have been holding positions of the trust and have been holding or molding the work after their own similitude as far as they possibly could. Testimonies and Ministries, page, that if they nourish the same spirit that marked their course of the action both before and after the Minneapolis meeting, they will fill up unto the full the deeds of those whom the Yahshua condemned when he was upon the earth, for the perils of the last days are upon us. Read Matthew 25:14. Testimonies of Ministries, page 79. We also present a written testimony from an eyewitness, the 1888 message, backed up by the Sister White as a message of the hour. Few of the leaders recognized it as such, almost as a unit. They rebelled when even claiming those men had unduly influenced Sister White in their favor by some unseen power, thus they rejected the spirit of the prophecy. These are two men, Elders Jones and Wagner, with the Sister White, were rejected the use of the big tabernacle. Thus you see, not only 90%, but nearly 95% of our leaders rebelled. for the third decree to build the temple, this is a subtitle for our next subject. As the first and second decrees by the kings of Medo-Persia, that's Cyrus and Darius, had failed to complete the construction of the temple and restore the sacred temple service, a third decree was set forth, and this is where we're at right now today. We're in this third decree. We're looking at it. Then the king added, "Also I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged thereon, and let his house be made a dunghill for this, and the Yahweh that hath called his name to dwell there, destroy all our kings and people that shall put to their hand the altar and to destroy this house of Yahweh, which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, have made a decree that it be done with the speed. And the elders of the Jews building, and they prophesied through the prophesying of the Haggai and the prophet and Zechariah the son of Edu, and they built it and they finished it according unto the commandment of the Yahweh of the Israel, and according unto the commandments of the Cyrus and the Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king." Ezra 6:11-15. It will be noticed that the third decree threatened the lives of the loyal men and nation. "Whosoever shall alter this word," said the king, "let his house be made a dunghill for this." So much for the type. Now we come unto the antitype. For the type reveals that the messages of 1844 and 1888 are to be followed by a third one. But according unto the type, the third message is to be a severe one, a message that will demand obedience and enforce executive judgment upon those who would oppose the decree. And according unto the type, it is the third message that will accomplish its mission. In 1929, just such a message came unto the Seventh-day Adventist, and it was put in writing and published in 1930, entitled The Shepherd's Rod, Volume 1. And as the message went unto all the sisterhood of the churches, as far as possible, throughout the world, the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's ink on by his side, was told, "Go through the midst of the city to the midst of Jerusalem, the church, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that saw and cried for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof in the church." And unto the others he said in mine hearing, "Go you after him to the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, but come not near, and women, but come not near the man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary." That's at the General Conference headquarters. Then they begin at the ancient man, that'd be the General Conference president, and his elders, which were before the house. Ezekiel 9:4-6. Now, V.G. Hall is saying that this Ezekiel 9 made its fulfillment in 1930. for the third day credit. This is wrong. Because this never happened. Ezekiel 9 is yet to happen. And we're down here looking at 100 years later. And we're still looking at this Ezekiel 9 to be fulfilled. So we are a house of David. We are in charge of this third decree. This third decree will go into force with us. On this scripture was a message based prophetically to come. That 1844 will be marked, and the balance now in the church must suffer the consequences except they repent and march on with the truth of the Yahweh, that though not one of the entire denomination has been able to contradict the truth of 144,000 as a whole, or even in part, nor have they dared refute the charge regarding the fostered abominations in the midst of them, they have risen against the message and prefer to hold to their abominations, just as the enemies of the Yahweh oppose the construction of the temple unto the very last. Let's do a back up and a little correction here of what I just read. On this scripture was a message based prophetically declaring that the 144,000 will be marked, and the balance now in the church must suffer the consequences except they repent and march on with the truth of the Yahweh, that though not one of the entire denomination has been able to contradict the truth of the 144,000 as a whole, or even in the part, nor have they dared to refute the charge regarding the fostered abominations in the midst of them, they have risen against the message and prefer to hold unto their abomination, just as the enemies of the Yahweh oppose the construction of the temple unto the very last. As the decree by the king of the Medo-Persia declared unto the foes of the house of Yahweh, saying, whosoever shall alter this word, let his house be made a dunghill for this. Just so the word of Yahweh has declared now, slay every old and young, both maids and little children and women, if such a message as this would not convince the professed people of Yahweh to do better than what can do it, and that's a question mark, then what can do it? Nevertheless, as the Yahweh's purpose was carried out in the type, just so it will be in the antitype. It is remarkable to note how perfectly the antitype coincides with the type. There was no change made in the decrease of size, and as it was but a renewal from time to time, so it has been with the antitype. Thus there can be no change with the third angel's message, that great light and power shall be added under it. Therefore, as in the 12th bread by the harvest time, the judgment of the living that we're in now. The judgment of the dead ended in the Passover 2002 at Kermit, Texas. Gilead Center with Roderick Johnson as the prophet. Fearful is his work. Awful is his mission. It is the angel that is to select the wheat from the tares and seal or bind the wheat for the heavenly garner. Early writings, page 118. Okay, we got about 7 minutes left on this sermon. Our next subtitle for our next subject is the time for the establishment of the true church. And Haggai 2:23, speaking of the construction of the type, second temple, but looking prophetically forward unto the fulfillment of the antitype, the church in her purity, and that would be the 144,000, part of the house of David in here in the 12th parabolic hour, the word of Yahweh by the prophet came unto Zerubbabel, who laid the foundation of the temple, and of whom the word says is a signal or sign for the Antichrist. But we read of what Yahweh is to do at that time. For this is the Yeshua of the host. This is the Son speaking. Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heaven and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with the glory, saith Yahshua of the host, for the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith Yahshua of the host, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than at the former, saith Yahshua of the host. And in this place will I give peace, saith Yahshua of the host. Haggai 2:6-9. And I will overthrow the throne of the kingdom, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen, and I will overthrow the church and those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down every one by the sword of his brother. Haggai 2:22. It is evident by this scripture that the glorious church is to be established at the close of this world's history. That would be in the last parabolic hour, the 12th hour that we're in now. When the earthly kingdom shall come unto their end. While interpreting Zechariah's vision, so therefore these earthly kingdoms then are going to come to their end here in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. All you got to do is read Revelation 17, 18, and 19 for this information. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands also shall finish it. Zechariah 4:9. That is, the founders of the Antichrist, which were typified by the Zerubbabel, laid the foundation in 1844. Zerubbabel, being a signet for the Antichrist, by laying the foundation and finishing the house, denotes that the finishing of the spiritual house, the completeness of the church of Yahweh, numbering of the saints, is to be accomplished in the one generation, and that would be here in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in right now, judgment of the living time, the harvest time. That's in the time when they resurrect all the dead, clear back to Adam, and the life of a man, commencing in 1844. Well, we're going to upgrade that a little bit to the 12th parabolic hour. 1844 was in the 10th parabolic hour. This fulfillment of the three angels' messages, by the 4th and the 5th angel joined it, Revelation 7 and Revelation 18, joining the 3rd angel's message, Revelation 14, here in the 12th parabolic hour, is what finishes it. Well, this brings in us to this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. Now, number 11, click on the audio archive. We're on close now with the song. Correction, let us continue. For the power of the Yahweh's people to build his house, this is our next subtitle. This saith Yahshua of the host, this is the Son speaking, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house. So now if you keep the sanctuary system, perform your vows, keep the daily faithfully, then he's going to use you to judge his house, and shalt also keep my course. And I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by, Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For, behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch, Zechariah 3:7-8. The servant the branch is Joshua the son, and they shall be as mighty men, which shall tread down their enemies, and the mar of the streets, and the battle, and they shall fight because Yahshua is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Zechariah 10:5. Okay, blow ye the trumpet, and sound, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Yahshua cometh, for it is nigh at hand, a day of the darkness and of the gloominess, a day of the clouds and of the thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even unto the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. For the land is as the garden of the Eden before them. Now here you have it right here. The earth is going to be turned into a garden of Eden before we go back to heaven these last days. During the probationary time, while probation is still open, while Yahshua is sitting as a king and a priest upon his throne, judging nations and people, this is when this takes place. This is when the Garden of Eden is also restored. And behind them a desolate wilderness, yes, and nothing shall escape them. For the appearance of them is as the appearance of the horses, and as the horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of the chariots on the tops of the mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of flame of the fire that devours the stubble, as a strong people sit in the battle array, before their face the people shall be much pain. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like the mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks, neither shall one thrust another, for they shall walk every one in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. For the earth shall quake before them, the heavens shall tremble, the sun and moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their sun. Joel 2:1-10. For the earth, sun, moon, and the stars have no connection with the Matthew 24:29. For the prophetic signs of the state of planet shall find their complete fulfillment before the commencement of the millennium. That's we'll be here in this 12th parabolic hour that we're in now. For the results of the obedience unto Yahweh's word, thus saith Yahshua the host, this is the Son, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Yahweh, and to seek the Yahshua, his son of the host. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come for the seeking of the Yahshua of the host, the son in Yahrushalayim, and to pray before the Yahweh. Thus saith the Yahweh, Yahshua the host. In those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of the languages of the nation, even shall take hold of the spirit of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that Yahweh is with you. Zechariah 8:20-23. For the meaning of the 10 men is the same as the 10 virgins of the Matthew 25:1. For the 10 virgins signify the church as a body, and the men symbolically denote those who are to be converted unto the church. So there's your converted again, born again, John 3, and that they shall come from all languages and nations, even shall take a hold of the spirit of him that is a Jew. Who is this? Antipical Yahshua, in his antitypical form of the second advent, that is, the one who is a Jew represents Yahshua. So this is a person then. This would be antitypical David. No, let's call it better than that. This would be antitypical Elijah, Malachi 4:5. That is, the one who is a Jew represents Yahshua in the person of his saints. Okay, the 144,000, his skirt represents the truth of the church as a whole, by which the 144,000 are symbolically clothed. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Yahweh, who two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say to Yahshua, for Yahweh is my father. Zechariah 13:8-9. Therefore thy gates shall be opened continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces. And remember what the forces in the margin says. It says the wealth, the gold and the silver of the Gentiles, and that their kings may be brought also. Isaiah 60:11. This brings in our census hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close now.